is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 802 ESPN 97.5. We're going to play this. Lamont has retweeted Dan Orlovsky. It's about fantasy, but he thinks that we'll play it. Or Dan Orlovsky thinks that Deshaun Watson is going to regress this year. Is this the bum-ass dude that ran out of the back of the end zone? Shut your bummy ass up. Good call, Lamont.
Is this bum-ass guy? Shut your bummy ass up. What was his rationale?
I don't care. We'll find out. We'll play it. Everybody's got an opinion. I think Deshaun, quite frankly, I think they're going to be in a bunch of shootouts this year. They're playing good quarterbacks, so you ain't going to see that Buffalo game,
right?
That Dallas game. You're going to see. I think, you know, the offense is going to have to respond. Bill O'Brien's going to have to open it up. God forbid anything happens to Kiki or Will Fuller. If you've got all of your weapons, this could be a fun year of highfalutin offense.
It really, I don't think people remember. They remember the negative. They don't remember the Tennessee beating. They don't remember the ability that they have when Will Fuller's on the field to beat the absolute breaks off of defenses. Like, they have some high end offensive potential when everything is right. But unfortunately, you know, Carlos Fuller is just a guy that you can't count on staying healthy either.
Okay. Under, over, number of games Carlos Fuller plays?
12.5.
Ooh, that's a big number.
I know. What do you want?
You think he's
odds? I'm just saying the odds.
Oh, I think the odds are 9.5. I mean, that should be the line.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this one because I've looked this up before. I think Will Fuller has not missed.
Well, he missed the whole.
I mean, he missed. So he's played 13. He played
18 games.
The first season he played 14 games. Okay. Second season he played 10. The third season he played 7. So it's trending well.
It's not trending well at all.
Oh, that's
which
a decline.
Is why the 9.5 is the number, not 12.5.
Not 9.5. He'll be healthy this year.
Okay, so he plays in 10.
I said 12.5. That's not great. That's missing. If you said under and it hit 12 and he missed 4 games, I mean, that's 25% of the season. In baseball?
Right now,
He'd be missing 40 games.
If you gave me Will Fuller for 12 games, I'd take it right now.
I would too. That's where we are.
Yeah. So, but the moral of this story is that, okay, I mean, there was a quote that Bill O'Brien and Deshaun both love DeAndre Carter. I mean, you want to talk about, they think the world of DeAndre Carter. Dude's explosive. So even if you lose Kiki QT, I think they're like, hey, we got DeAndre Carter, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Is this Orlovsky or Bill O'Brien? This is Orlovsky? You got Orlovsky? Here's what Orlovsky had to say about Deshaun this year regressing with his fantasy numbers anyway.
There's a quarterback, Dan, that takes a step forward. There's always a quarterback that takes a step back. Who's your candidate for that in 2019?
I've got some concerns about Deshaun Watson.
Really?
Like this offseason, I wanted the Texans to do like 2 or 3 things. One, get a better offensive line. Really didn't do that. They didn't really allocate funds to that. Two, give me someone opposite DeAndre Hopkins. Didn't do that. And so at some point, that's going to come back to hurt the Texans.
You don't buy Will Fuller as that piece or Kiki Cutie.
Well, both Cutie's a little
up.
Bit of hurt right
He's
now. And Will
up, yep.
Fuller usually is hurt. I mean, we see some spikes out of his play and just unreliable. I love Deshaun Watson. He's a bright young star in this league. But with a coach that can't keep his quarterback upright, the offensive line that still has issues, and no one consistently opposite Hop, I think there's going to be a regression.
Okay.
We shall see.
Apparently he didn't see the Lions game the other night.
Wait,
that's also not a shot at Deshaun at all.
It wasn't a Deshaun.
It's not a shot at Deshaun.
It's about everything around him.
I didn't hear a lot of things that I disagree with, to be honest with you. I think Deshaun's going to be fine fantasy-wise because this was a fantasy show, right? They were talking fantasy-specific content. I think he'll be fine fantasy-wise because you don't even have to have great seasons to have a good fantasy year.
No, I would still put Deshaun on my fantasy. No, I may not draft him in the first round like I did last year, but...
Deshaun's going to be in your top four quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let's suppose now... And oh, by the way, they didn't do anything to address the offensive line. Well, a first and a third, and they went out and got a free agent. So they did some things to address the offensive line. I don't know that it's they're going to be, you know, we'll find out how Titus Howard plays, and we'll see how Matt Khalil plays, which I'm not all that thrilled about, and we'll see how, if you got to use Roderick Johnson, or, you know, we'll see all of these things. It's not like they didn't address it, though. That's incorrect.
Well, maybe he didn't think it was sufficiently addressed.
Well, maybe they, yeah, maybe well addressed, but a first and a third, you can't tell me that you didn't see what you need and say, we need to do something here. They did that. It's not like they were like blind to their 62 sacks. They know. They addressed it in the draft. Whether or not they addressed it well, that's another story. Whether or not Matt Khalil can play, that's another story. So that they didn't is incorrect. That you're counting, you see, you can't do everything every offseason. I would have loved to have seen him picked up a back, you know, okay, so you gave up a third for Duke Johnson. Ugh, well, okay. But you can't. You couldn't. With all the needs that you have, you kind of count on Will Fuller. You kind of sometimes say, and just like Carlos Correa, you gotta say, dude, you gotta stay on the field. You have to stay on the field. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, now we're going to have to address this. And we're going. If Will Fuller is hurt again this year, misses 7, 8, 9 games, outside of cornerback. That might be your number one need next year, mm-hmm. next spring. It may be your number one need. You have got to get some help that's reliable on the other side.
Right now, so you're still in a waiting game with your offensive line. You got to see. Defensive line looks like it's going to be up. Well, you're going to have to address pass rush. Unless somebody,
an edge
rusher. And I would say you're always looking to, you're never content on the D-line. You're always looking to get, you can get better than Angelo Blackson. You can get better. You're not going to get better than DJ Reader.
I think you're with Dunn and Reader. I don't think that's something that you address high when you got corner needs.
You don't address it high unless somebody like Jeffrey Simmons' talent is there for you, somebody like that. Like, if you got a chance to get really good up front, you go get a great player. You don't worry about needs as much as great players philosophically. With all that said, though, I mean, Will, this is the get off the pot moment for Will Fuller. You cut bait. If he doesn't stay healthy this year, you consider him done. As a matter of fact, they didn't pick up. No, they did pick up fifth-year option on Will Fuller, didn't they? I think they picked up the fifth-year option on Will Fuller. I'm almost positive of it. Fuller, fifth-year year option, because he should. Texans exercise fifth year. So they have him. They've exercised the fifth year, but, you know, they could also be done with him. So we'll see what happens. But if Will Fuller doesn't stay healthy, then you are moving on to the next wide receiver. And whatever Will does in year five, he does in year five. Tight ends, they're not touching. They're good there. I think guard to guard, they're going to be okay. They can figure that out. That's not a high priority. Tackles could end up being a high priority again. Even if Chantrell Henderson plays good, that's a Band-Aid guy. Yep. So you still need right tackle.
Unless Sharping.
Sharping's going to be a guard. I don't think they're even going to consider Sharping a tackle. I think they're going to. I think they got a really good guard. I think Max Sharping's going to end up being a good guard. I think they hit.
I think they hit too, but I think they're going to almost be forced to put Sharping outside.
Sounds like you better draft a tackle then. Because if you're forcing a guy to go there.
Well, you need another corner. Well, you need maybe another wide receiver. Well, you need a running back.
You can find running back. You can find running back. Corner, pass rush. Well, this is why you don't take draft picks lightly. This is why you don't throw away draft picks to get rid of Brock Osweiler. I know everyone acts like the Brock Osweiler deal.
Forget the Brock Osweiler, the third for Duke Johnson.
Yeah, stuff like that. You don't do that. You know why? Because you do need tackles. You do need cornerbacks. You do need running back depth. You do need wide receiver help. You do need rush. These are all things you're going to need. You can't be affording to throw draft picks away. You can't. And you better be smart with how you spend your free agency money, too. Everything to this point has been, and I'm not saying it's wrong necessarily. Tayshaun Gibson, I can't wait to see how he plays. Bradley Roby's a one-year prove-it deal. If he proves it, you're going to have to pay him. And I'm good with that. Bradley Roby's had some good NFL snaps.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Bradley Roby have a good season and turn into a corner.
Well, he could be a one and done like Tyrann Matthew.
Yeah. Yeah, he could be.
He absolutely could be.
And that's
what? And he's taking a chance on himself with a one-year deal? He's taking a chance on himself.
You know who's up in 2 years also? Chris Ballard. I'm just saying, you can go get his contract.
Chris Ballard?
His contract's up in 2 years.
Wow.
They'd be crazy not to re-up. Jim Irsay would.
Chris Ballard want to come and answer to Bill O'Brien? Is that what he wants? Okay. I'd like to see that. That's not happening. Not in our life.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what is happening? Our patios. And when we come back, there's a lot of law issues with some of our players and some of our coaches. Did you see this story? When we come back. How about that tease?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
How about that tease?
Good tease.
How about that?
Now I'm going to have to come back and do the show. Now I got to come back and do the show, Dell. Look how good that is.
I was planning on recording my podcast at 8:20. Now I'm going to stay because of that tease.
Let me tell you about Texas Custom Patios and what it means for you. My wife and I were talking about this, and she said, we got in an argument about something. She goes, you got a patio. I'm like, you're damn right I got a patio. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Thank you. I didn't know you were going to give me that compliment. Yeah, I spent my money on a patio. You know why? Because a patio, number one, because I understand that you get dollar for dollar value back for the patio. Number two, it's awesome. It's awesome. I got a big-ass TV out there. I got the sound system built into the ceiling. Not to mention that they took it looks like it was a pre-existing, like it was built onto the original home. That's what the structure looks like. They pitched the roof, so I've got a vaulted ceiling roof. They've matched it into what I've already got there, matched the shingles. It's amazing. This is an incredible – it's not only does it look great, it's really built with great care to be durable, to match the pre-existing elements of the home, and to upgrade the home. That's what these patios do. They're outdoor living spaces, and Texas Custom Patios is the best – the best in the state of Texas. Nobody's doing it better. The natural stone they use, the outdoor kitchen they can build for you, everything that they do is top rate, and they are doing it at completely transparent business model where they take you through the entire step and what they charge you. The very first price they give you, that is a set price. No matter what happens after that, they will pick up the costs if anything goes over. Make sure that you check out my friends at Texas Custom Patios. If you're looking to build a patio outside or a freestanding patio or an outdoor kitchen or even a sunroom, they can do that for you. TexasCustomPatios.com.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. So, man, there was a lot of stuff going on. Octavio Dotel? What the bleep? Now, I don't know. We got to look up. How much money did Dotel make in his career? He pitched a wild pitch for the Mets.
He pitched 15 seasons.
Yeah,
I think it was.
You would think he had enough, but apparently he's been arrested in the Dominican Republic.
That was my favorite Astro, of course, because every one of my favorite players gets in trouble with murder, drugs, something.
Yeah.
I back the worst guys I have since I was a kid. Cesar Cedeno shot a woman that was his girlfriend, like on accident,
but
ish.
Lou
Lloyd suspended cocaine.
And
kicked out of the league.
Everybody says that like it's a bad
Benny
thing.
Anders, drugs and guns.
And
my dad's like, you picked the worst people.
Everybody can have a
people.
Good time.
All right, so Octavio Dotel played
what's the number say? What's
15
earning?
Years with a 3.78 ERA.
Not
and
bad.
His earning potential. No, he had some great stuff. He was just better off. He was just better off as a setup.
I'm kind of feeling like in the Dominican.
What do you think? What do you think he made?
I'll bet you he made
15 years.
15 years. I'm going to bet you he made somewhere around 23, 24 million.
Not bad, John. 41.
41 million.
Now, highest he ever made was 6 million.
Yeah, I mean,
with the White Sox
back,
when
back
he was 35.
Then, and reliever and all that. But he probably got himself a nice deal as a closer with the Mets. What was his? Was that his biggest deal? Do you got him or no? Anyway.
The Mets? No, he was only with the Mets for that for 1 year.
Oh, he was?
$200,000. Then he was with the Astros. Drayton just said, "Woo, $2.8 million for a pitcher. This is just way too much." Yankees $2 million, or A's 4.7. Yankees two,
A's
Royals 5, White Sox 5, White Sox 6, Pirates 3.2, Blue Jays 3,
wow.
Tigers 3, Tigers 3.5.
Yeah, so dude made some money. I'm thinking $41 million in the Dominican Republic probably goes pretty far. I'm thinking that you don't have to create a drug empire.
Cut it in half, and I'm not sure he saved his money from the time he was in 1999 when he was 25 years
old.
I'm
pretty sure you can live pretty well on $20 million for the rest of your life in the Dominican
Republic.
That's
because you're a small thinker, John.
Yeah.
Okay.
A man's trying to create an empire.
Yeah.
He wants to leave a lasting legacy.
I don't believe any
I don't
any
know.
Of this
is
stuff.
He or is he now in prison he, for the rest
well,
of his life?
Any
of
this stuff. I mean, he's one of the few that becomes a drug pin and doesn't work out for him. He's one of the few.
Oh, yeah, because all the drug pins, it always works out great.
I mean, I didn't say it works out for a long time, but he's one of the few that it didn't work out. I mean, being a drug kingpin generally works out well for people. So I wouldn't fault Dotel's decision making only because just because it didn't work out for him doesn't mean he didn't make a good decision going into it.
Well, maybe it's ever a good decision when you got $20 million to invest in a drug ring.
What, you don't think you don't want to turn 20 into 100?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure you could have started a steel factory or something.
It's not as profitable.
Steel factory.
That's not as profitable now.
You could probably
you're going to get tariffs.
Probably get some pretty cheap labor. I don't know.
Look, you don't think getting guys to stand on the corner selling your drugs is cheap? You can get cheap labor that way too.
I think you're overestimating how much of Octavio Dotel's money was saved.
But yeah, that may
be the case
too.
I'm
thinking a couple million you could live well for the rest of your life.
Why not try to make it 20 million?
Okay. So, all right. But, and now look.
He took a risk. It's like the stock market. What do you want from him?
Okay. And guess what?
He knew there was
a
risk involved.
If you lose on the stock market, you still are able to walk around on the streets. Not anymore. Not for Octavio.
Is it worse to be in prison or live in a tent because you lost all your money in the stock market?
Well, then you go to Austin and live in a tent. You know what? That's fine, too.
I just think,
that's a fine life.
I just think you don't like guys with big dreams.
Austin's amazing.
Austin is amazing.
Tent or no tent. It's amazing, Dell.
So
it's weird.
You
There's
guys
water.
Criticize Austin.
Amazing.
I don't have an issue with Austin. You guys are criticizing Austin.
So now
Dell hates Austin.
What do you think about Katie?
I've been there once, or twice.
What do you think about Mario Williams? Our own Mario. How would you feel if you were somebody that lived in Katie and all of a sudden Mario Williams is on your property?
I'd be like, yes.
Is he selling something?
Well, I don't know, but he was charged with trespassing.
Are you salty about
that
article I wrote when you went to the Bills?
You don't know what he was doing. Maybe it's a misunderstanding. Maybe he was selling energy.
Mm.
Maybe he's in oil and gas.
He could have been checking, maybe he's work. Maybe he's a meter reader.
I don't think he's a meter reader.
I'm pretty sure he's not a meter reader.
Maybe he's a
meter
reader.
Does he work for Amazon and he didn't have... The truck didn't have the logo on it, Ice-T said?
Or maybe he was working. Maybe he was going to drop the package off in the back.
Or maybe a judge now has ordered a mental health and intellectual disability assessment for Williams.
Oh, because he is dropping a package off in the back?
I don't want Mario Williams dropping a package off in my back. That's what I don't want. Pretty sure that's something that I can do without. Then there's this. There is a guy. Do you remember? Were you at Dana Holgerson's press conference?
No. When he got hired? No, I'm still dealing with the Mario stuff right now.
In
my head, I'm dealing with the Mario comment you made.
So I didn't make any comment. All I'm saying is this is not what I want Mario Williams to be doing. Right. So here's the deal. Dana Holgerson's press conference. I was there. This dude stands up, African-American guy, wearing a red jacket, a cap.
Oh, yeah. I remember. And then who was Tillman got after him, right?
Tillman got after him. I can tell you this. At the University of Houston, we have a colorblind process. If we decide to go after somebody, we go after them. I don't care if they're white or black or Chinese or Indian.
Now, the question was their process of hiring, and they didn't really take into consideration any minority candidates?
Well, that was something he said. How could you interview or talk to multiple candidates in 3 days? In 3 days. You don't hire nobody in 3 days. That's just good old boy, good old fashioned, kiss my butt when most of your players are going to be African American on the field. So now that happened at Dana Holgorsen's introductory press conference. Now what's happened, that same guy, he calls himself Dr. Kevin Sims. He's suing, has filed a suit in Harris County against the University of Houston. His suit claims employment discrimination under Texas Labor Code Chapter 21 after UH hired Dana Holgorsen. He filed the claim because African-American candidates, including Dr. Kevin Sims, were not afforded an opportunity to apply for the head coaching position at the University of Houston. I can tell you this. Okay, so here, though, he is claiming, oh, my goodness, the suit takes special note of the January 7th press conference over at Holgorsen. He's Caucasian. Mr. Holgorsen signed a $20 million contract. However, he is saying that he is also suing for damages. He seeks actual damages, back pay and front pay, and loss of all employment benefits, both general and special, for the injuries, mental anguish suffered by Dr. Sims, past, present, and future. Compensatory special damages, past, present, and future. Mental anguish sustained by Dr. Sims, past, present, and future. Reasonable and necessary expenses incurred by Dr. Sims. He's suing the University of Houston because he's not the head coach. And he wants all the monies and he wants them to pay for his hospitalization that he might incur down the road.
Does he have qualifications as any type of coach?
I don't believe so.
So he's suing. Why is he suing Houston for him not being the head coach?
I don't know why. I don't know. He's also seeking damages totaling the salary Daniel Holgorsen received from the University of Houston and all benefits. He would like to be compensated based on the severity of conduct of defendant during the employment and or hospitalization. He's already thinking he's going to be hospitalized because Dana was hired.
This guy who got up at the press conference?
Yes.
Is going to be hospitalized?
He's going to be hospitalized.
None of this makes any sense.
Because of mental anguish.
I don't feel like he's going to win this.
I don't know. You don't know that? He said, well, you can read the entire complaint here. Please note all spelling, grammar, and that don't make no sense issues originate in the complaint. I think he wrote it himself. There are quite a few SICs, six, in this story, in this Goku stories, because there were quite a few in grammatical and spelling inaccuracies.
So will Dana be handing him a check? Him personally?
I don't know. I think the University of Houston is going to have to pay him what they paid Dana.
No, so I know. I understand Dana won't be losing his money. Will Houston ask Dana to hand him the money?
No. I think they're going to have to hand it over on top of Dana.
No, I understand that. But does the guy anywhere in his complaint, because of his mental anguish, want Dana Holgorsen to personally hand him Houston's money?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he wants Dana's and he wants U of H to double it.
Does Dana get to drive the Brinks truck to the man's house? Off the money?
Well, I think he might get the Chastain loaner. I don't know. You don't know.
I don't. That's why I'm asking all the questions.
Well, there you have it. I don't know.
Look, once again, we have another case of a man trying to dream big, and I won't crush a man's dreams.
It seems like, I don't know, I think you should be qualified for the job before you sue for it.
Look, I
don't know what his qualifications are.
Yeah, I don't know or where he coaches or why he thinks he's qualified. Look, I'm not going to buy into the whole football coaches are the smartest people. I know they like to put that out there, but they do understand they have a particular set of skills. They're not Liam Neeson, but they do have a particular set of skills. Maybe that gentleman doesn't have them, and I don't know how he can sue and on what basis if he doesn't have those skills.
Well, are you a lawyer? I'm a lawyer because I watch Law & Order.
I watch a lot of procedural dramas too. So I'm a lawyer too.
I watch a lot of procedural dramas too. Okay. You see what he just did on you?
Yeah.
He just dunked on you saying procedural dramas. But him going over the top and Christian.
Well, he doesn't watch Law and Order though. So
that's a procedural drama.
That's a procedural.
You didn't say you watched that one.
No, I'm
pretty sure I have the qualifications to quash this.
I grew up watching The Practice and Ally McBeal.
Oh.
So there are multiple.
Ally McBeal. No.
Yeah, L.A. Law.
Sorry,
I saw.
She's too skinny. Can't watch that.
What does that have to do with anything?
Can't watch it.
We're talking
it.
About her as a lawyer, not as if you're.
Eat a burger and I'll watch
her
you.
Attractiveness qualities.
Eat something.
All okay. I know, I've seen a lot of those shows growing up. I've watched How to Get Away with Murder, at least the first season, so I feel like
I think you're closing in.
I feel like I know things.
Okay, but we'll see. Mark and Derek, we're going to get you guys in on the other side, but right now, 830 ESPN 97.5, I want to talk about my peeps, Jason and Rosie over at Oops Steam Cleaning. They're awesome. And you're probably, when you call in, you'll probably talk to Rosie. She answers the phones, and she's able to answer a lot of your questions over the phone. One thing that they do at Oops is they want to make sure, okay, tell us everything. And if you don't tell us, okay, we've got urine stains, but you didn't tell us about that, then it changes everything. Tell them what it is. They'll come plain pricing, as opposed to these other guys. They get to your home, and all of a sudden, what was $125 turns into $700 or $800. You're like, what the hell just happened? Well, you got to have this, and you got to have this. Well, why didn't you tell me that? At Oops, that's what they do. They tell you that before they get there. This is what we're going to do. This is exactly, okay, well, you have urine stains or beer stains or wine stains in your car. Okay, well, we can get those out, but that's what, you know what, that's going to be harder. So it's going to take our guys a little bit longer. It's plain. It's out there. It's simple. It's transparent for you. Now, they use very hot steam, 250 degrees. That's very hot. I'd like to say it's very, very hot. And hey, they came here. You slobs spilled beer all over our carpets here for the listener appreciation party. You know what they did? Oops, came up, cleaned it all, bing, bing, bing. And we knew they were going to clean it. And guess what? It doesn't smell like beer anymore. And you can have that too. Trained and background screen professionals, employees, not contractors. If you haven't had your carpets or your drapes or your upholstery cleaned lately, then just give me a call. 30-day service warranty as well. Give me a call, 281-822-0561, 281-822-0561, or go online, oopssteam.com, oopssteam.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Let's get who's been waiting. Oh, Derek's been waiting the longest. He wants to talk about J.D. Clowney, but Mark will get you in here. What do you say, Derek?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, Zerline?
Hey, what's going on?
How was the vacation, bro?
It was good. It was good.
Good. Hey, say, check this out real quick. So, are the Texans anywhere closer to getting Clowney on the field?
No.
I think the passage of time gets Clowney closer.
Every day you're closer because he's going to come in, probably comes in right before the season.
Yeah, so I would say Okay. Yes, he is getting closer to coming in as our guest.
But it's not because the Texans are getting him closer.
No.
Okay, the right tackle position. I heard Bill O'Brien say the other day the words that he said, and I don't believe nothing that comes out of his dude's mouth, whether sarcastic or not. But it sounded like to me that it was still in a process, like, okay, the Lynn guys maybe, but it's still open to anybody. Can be see anything happening in that portion before the season starts, any kind of move.
The right tackle, Chantrell? Chantrell's been solid there.
I think you're talking about
the left tackle.
So there are people in the league.
No, he didn't sound sarcastic to me at all. He sounded like he was pissed off at the question. Seemed like he just went, Khalil's our tackle. Okay, that's enough. Why are you even asking that? To me, he was, he was denigrating the question. So I think Khalil's a lock to start the first game, and I don't think Khalil will last more than 4 or 5 games.
I can tell you this. If you are not, and I don't know everything about the guy, maybe his work ethic's not great or whatever. I know he's been a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro. If you are not at least considering moving Clowney, if you're going to move Clowney or you want to, if you're not considering the move for Trent Williams, then I don't know what to say, because I know Trent Williams is going to want guaranteed money. You're going to pay him whatever it is. It's a high amount. You have money. It makes the most sense to do that. It makes the most sense to go get a left tackle that you know is a pro. Is he perfect? I don't know. And I've heard some things that maybe, you know, his work ethic's not the best. I've just seen the results. The results have been really, really good. And with Jadeveon Clowney, if you're intent on moving him, if Washington would be willing to do that, I think
you have to consider that. But Schefter has said Washington's not willing to do it. And now, it's silly if you can get a Jadeveon Clowney, but you're trading in one financial headache for another. Because if you're Washington, because he's not going to sign long-term with you.
Well, you just drafted Montez. So here's why it doesn't make a lot of sense. You'd have to play him on a D-line at a five technique because you just drafted Montez Sweat in the first. And Ryan Kerrigan, yeah. I don't know if you know this or not.
He's really good.
He flies under the radar.
Yeah.
Ryan Kerrigan has way more sacks than Jadeveon Clowney.
But can you get enough year. Good linemen? And, oh, by the way, Jadeveon flourished in the five technique.
Yeah, I think that's his best. I think it's actually his best role.
Yeah.
I think it's his best spot. So I don't think it's a bad thing. Ryan Kerrigan, by the way, I was just looking this up last year. Let me just hit you with some Ryan Kerrigans. In the last 5 years, 13.5 sacks, 9.5 sacks, 11 sacks, 13 sacks, 13 sacks. This guy is one of the best pass rushers in the league and most consistent, and no one ever talks about him, really. Like, he's been way better than Jadeveon Clowney. Tackles for loss, 18, 12, 18, 15, 11. Like, his consistency level is off the charts, Ryan Kerrigan. He's been a fantastic. He's gone to four Pro Bowls. Ryan Kerrigan's really good. No one ever talks about him. Right. That's just kind of an aside. No one cares about that. I'm just saying, Ryan Kerrigan's a guy that no one ever hears about, or no one talks about, and yet he has put in some unbelievable work.
Well, and then you say, well, it's redundant. You don't need a Jadeveon Clowney. But having Trent Williams sit the entire year because he's not coming in, and getting some production out of, you know what, it may be redundant, but having a lot of good defensive linemen is not a bad thing.
Right.
I mean, and oh, by the way, you'll stay fresh, and, you know, maybe Jadeveon will flourish. Jadeveon is a 4-3 defensive end. That's what he is. And he's got to – this system, I mean, he's like pissed off. You got me outside linebacker, which is a $15 million spot as opposed to the $17 million I should be getting. The whole thing is a mess. Trade him for Trent Williams and bring in a guy that can actually play left tackle. Mark is here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Mark?
Hey, good morning. Just wanted to share a couple of thoughts and observations regarding the litigation pending now with U of H. And admittedly, this is one person's opinion in the legal profession. I'm not going to comment on the merits of the plaintiff's cause of action, but just strategically. So the plaintiff has a theory here that some deal was cut behind the scenes. That's pretty apparent. The question is, how do you get to the information that can bolster that or prove that claim? There's two essential mechanisms in Texas law which allows a person to get that type of information, given that this is a public, these are officials in a public entity, a governmental agency, the University of Houston. One is an open records request, and that can be cumbersome because entities often then file a request for the attorney general opinion, and that can get, that gets drugged down time-wise. That's not very efficient. The other way is to avail yourself of the remedies in the rules of civil procedure of discovery in a lawsuit. And that's where a plaintiff in a lawsuit files a cause of action, and then now we're going to do a request for production, and we get to look at all the text messages, all the emails. Simply put, and again, one person's opinion, this is a fishing expedition. Plaintiff thinks that this deal was cut behind closed doors in a smoke-filled room, and the plaintiff is looking for proof for that. And to the extent that these folks are going to have to produce all these text messages, emails, all of this stuff, you know, it can be a little embarrassing. And also, pursuant to a somewhat recent change in Texas law, if you're a public official and you are conversing or having communications regarding public business, it doesn't matter if it's on your personal cell phone or your personal email. If you're talking about governmental business, there's no such thing as a personal cell phone or a personal email. It's all out there. So just a couple of thoughts and observations.
Yeah, well, whether it'll be dismissed before all of that because it doesn't have, there's no merit. Right? Oh, he hung up. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think universities have used, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. No, absolutely. Now, Chris Pesman, during the press conference, said, we did our due diligence. We did inquire. We did absolutely talk to African American. Now he'd have to prove it. Then you're right. He would have to prove it. And this Sims guy wants proof apparently that there actually was. And there is no Rooney Rule. There is no Rooney Rule in college football.
Nope.
But as a public institution, I mean, you could argue that they do have to do some due diligence to open it the hiring up. Otherwise, it is a behind-the-scenes, smoke-filled backdoor, a good old boy network. Well, I don't know. Chris Pesman said he did his due diligence. We'll see if we may not see, depending on the merits of this lawsuit. But it would open it up if it gets that far. It would open it up to Pez's email and his texts and any calls that he made to any potential African American candidates.
Yeah, and it could be. I don't know if it would be embarrassing or not. I mean, look, my guess, just Lance just talking here, is Houston knew exactly who they wanted, who they were going to get, and that was that.
Yep.
Did they go through the process of interviewing African-American candidates? I don't know. My guess is, but since it was a state position, a state-run university, and you have to post the position, and, you know, there's a process, as he talked about. I would guess that they followed all the necessary steps.
Protocol, yeah.
My guess is they followed, even if you didn't hear about it, they followed the necessary steps.
Hopefully. And Pez said that during a press conference, that he did. That he did follow the appropriate protocol. Now, it may come down to it where you're like, now prove it. Or it may be, this is a...
Prove it shouldn't be hard.
Well, right. With emails or texts, right. Or phone calls, whatever the case may be. Or this is going to be tossed. This lawsuit's going to be tossed before it ever gets anywhere.
This is
near
not.
That.
Nothing's going to come of this. Look at what the lawsuit is.
No.
Look what the guy's asking
for. I want Dana Holgerson's money.
Yeah, this is outlandish.
Wait, okay. All right. Can we get Scott in here before we take a break or no? You're, Dal, you're just like the not. You're the time Nazi today.
Don't. First pet, now Nazi? No. You're on one today, apparently.
He was on several.
Yeah. How many beers did you have again?
I don't know.
How late?
Why are you beer watching?
Well,
why are
you told me how many you had. I didn't ask.
No.
You offered that information yourself.
I didn't tell anybody anything.
Well, did anybody last night tell you, make this step? Hey, I think you're good now. I think you need to, let's slow it down. Did anyone say that to you?
Not once.
Okay.
No one ever says that. That's stupid.
Yeah,
why would
those,
anyone limit?
He doesn't have those type of people around him.
You know what? Let's stop it right here.
No.
Was that phrase
everybody
ever
says? No. The phrase was, have another one. Yep.
Yeah. Are you scared? Yep. Oh, you're scared to drink?
Yep.
To John on his 13th beer. Why are you so scared? And John, I'm not scared. Watch.
Right.
So see, I'll show you. I'll show you. Hoo-hoo.
Well,
who's scared
like I'm
now?
Do you think I look like I'm scared of Coors Light? Do I look like that to you?
I feel like he'd make love to Coors Light.
I'm not scared.
I wish this was a Coors Light commercial. Maybe you can work it in with your
Absolute
Marble.
I wish it was
marble.
A Coors Light commercial. Maybe, just maybe, I'm not scared of Jeff Aronoff either. I'm not scared of Jeff Aronoff. You ever seen him? Well, he's carrying around a lot of granite, a lot of marble. We went over to Damaris after we were over at the at Papa's. We went over to Damaris, and I was looking at the counter behind and the bar that Jeff Aronoff installed, and I was proud. I had like a little tear in my eye. I was so proud of little Jeffy boy. Putting all that in, and he all growed up and putting in bars. That's what Jeff Aronoff did, and it looks awesome. It really does. What I need you to do is please, if you need a countertop, all you have to do is call Jeff Aronoff. If you need an outdoor kitchen, if you need that patio installed, if you need a fireplace. The facade even, or the vanity, or anything, rock hard, marble, granite. This is the guy that you call. He's awesome at it. And he's really working. He's got so many jobs going on. He's got so many crews out there. He's awesome. You will love what Jeff Aronoff does for you and your home. You got to upgrade, people. You got to do it. Your house ain't getting. You're not adding value if you don't. If you're not doing something, you're not adding value to your home. When you sell it, guess what? Oh, this thing's old and decrepit. I ain't buying it. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. The annual Texas Southern University Prairie View A&M Labor Day Classic will be held at BBVA Stadium, Saturday, August 31st. Watch the TSU Tigers. They take on the defending champs, Prairie View, Texas A&M Panthers. Let's do this at exactly 9 o'clock. Exactly 9 o'clock. Caller number 10. Going to win a pair of tickets to the game. Tickets start at $20. Available online at bbvastadium.com or at the stadium box office. It's going to be at BBVA, August 31st. So there you have it. All right. For some reason, people want to talk about this lawsuit.
Before we do that, can I get to? I briefly mentioned it. So Baker Mayfield came out in a GQ interview. Now I feel like the way it was positioned in headlines that I read about Baker Mayfield slams, you know, loser Daniel Jones or whatever. And of course, you read it and you realize, oh, look at that headline writer.
Well, he did kind of slam him.
No, he did. Without question, which I think is low rent.
I think that's low class. So he's looking at a TV, and Daniel Jones is on the TV while this dude is interviewing him from GQ. And he says, I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones. Blows my mind. Some people overthink it. That's where people go wrong. They forget you got to win. Either you have a history of winning and being that guy on your team, or you don't. So
Baker's looking for the intangibles, which... there may be something to it.
Well,
Baker Mayfield was a winner.
He was a winner.
Deshaun Watson was a winner. Yeah. I do think there is something to, there's something to being a winner as a quarterback. I'm really buying into that.
Jared Goff wasn't, and no, he is now.
But I'm not a. I was Daniel Jones. To me, I was not a huge fan. I thought he's the fifth best of the quarterbacks I looked at last year. But regardless, Baker's basing this all on the fact that he was 17 and 19 at Duke.
But he was at Duke. Baker was at Oklahoma.
Not a lot of help at wide receiver, by the way.
Not a lot of help anywhere.
Yeah, he had a lot of drops.
And Goff as well. I mean, it ain't easy.
So here's what he said. In this era of clapbacks, here's what Daniel Jones said. I wish we did win more games. I played a big part in that, so I take responsibility for that. Our goal was always to win ACC championships and go to big bowl games, and we weren't able to do that. I don't look back on that without a large responsibility for that. Yeah, but are you going to clap back at Baker? Talk about his like being a douche.
No.
I think there's a lot of things that would motivate me before something like that would. I don't always show it, but I'm a very passionate person.
And then he said, I think he's a great player. He can throw it, and I enjoy watching him play.
He said that about Baker?
About Baker.
Of course he did. There's two types of people in this world, said Evan Engram. There's people who run their mouths and cry for attention, and there's people who put their head down, get to work, and get stuff done. That's everything Daniel's been doing. I mean, look, he has actually gotten off to a good start in New York. Yeah. And when I watched him, he's clearly the most pro-ready. He worked under David Cutcliffe, who taught the Mannings. And there's a reason that they like Daniel Jones, is he reminded them of Eli Manning. He's tight with the Mannings. And Daniel Jones is. And Daniel Jones is a cerebral quarterback. I just didn't love him. I didn't think he had any juice on the field when I watched him at the Senior Bowl. I just didn't feel him at all. So I had a second round grade on him. Well, he obviously went much higher. And one of the places I mocked him to was the Giants because of the Cutcliffe.
The Giants said you were an idiot. Giants fans.
Well, the Giants fans didn't like when I did that because that seemed like a big. But it's the reason is simple. They fell in love with a guy that they felt like is the third Manning. To them, that's Cooper Manning. Daniel Jones.
Well, this is not what
Baker's
I said.
Baker's a little douchey, though, right?
This is not what I said, just so we're clear, Baker said. I also said I was surprised I got drafted number one. Then was talking about the flaws in evaluating QBs, where I brought up winning being important. Reporters and media will try to do anything to come up with a clickbait story. Heard nothing but good things and wish nothing but the best for Daniel. He was misquoted. So
he was hacked.
Just trying.
Did he get hacked?
He got hacked.
Del, did he get hacked?
Yeah, he did.
How could he get hacked when he was talking directly to
someone?
Yeah,
but were his words hacked?
It's either hacked or the guy wrote things that Baker didn't say. There's no hacking involved.
No, he was hacked.
He wasn't hacked because it wasn't.
Baker said it. He didn't like the way it was positioned.
Hacked. By his brain?
His mouth was hacked.
It was packaged and positioned as Daniel Jones is a loser. Daniel Jones sucks. Why did they draft Daniel Jones? But what Baker said, yeah, Baker was surprised he was drafted first. Well, maybe he said that. I don't remember him saying that. But if he said it, it wasn't because he wasn't a winner. Baker Mayfield said this guy didn't win.
He was surprised he was drafted too, Lance.
He was surprised
he was even drafted.
Sure, he was shocked. That's why he was doing a documentary of himself.
He was surprised he was even drafted, Lance. Okay, you're hacking Baker now.
It's funny because really, to be honest, you got to give Baker some credit. It wasn't really about Daniel Jones. He was like, Duke, they play football at Duke? He was like, I didn't even know they played football.
They have a football
at Duke.
Team.
I know about the basketball team who was disappointing in the postseason, but they play football at Duke.
Mm. All right. You know what else is disappointing?
I mean, sometimes.
You know what else is disappointing? Prime not being open.
Right now you're disappointed. But it's reopened officially.
September 5th.
The doors haven't been unlocked, but they're back in business.
Yes.
Prime is back in
business. Brent is already there. And the boys, he's putting it all back together. There's a lot of work to do. September 5th is opening back up, and they're going to be bigger and better than ever. Prime Social, baby. Westheimer, just west of the First Light, west of Voss. And it is the preeminent poker room in this city. It's not even close. They did it better than anybody, which is why they were attacked. They were attacked. It's over. They're back, you're going back into business, and again, you can't ask for a better place to play. All of the, I mean, they had 10, 12 tables going at once. These other places are, we still got a table? We still got a table going? Man, Prime Social did it the best, and they're going to do it the best again. They're opening up September 5th, so get ready. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, everybody. Prime Social, opening back up September 5th.
PrimeSocialTX.com.
ESPN 97.5.